War Eagle, this is Warbloggle with Warbloggle podcast number 16. It is January 10th in the year of our Lord 2024. It's about 2:45 in the afternoon as I'm recording this. It's 50 degrees outside and sunny. It's starting to dry up all that rain. All that got. We sure did need that rain. It is Wednesday. Last night was Tuesday, and Auburn played Texas A&M in basketball. Auburn has, you remember we talked about last time, they are ranked 16th in the AP poll. Before last night, they were 5th in the KenPom poll that is known for hating Auburn. And they were, I think, 8th in the net ranking, which is the ranking that is used to seed teams. So as of before last night, when Auburn played Texas A&M, Auburn was a 2 seed by net standards. As you know, Auburn beat Texas A&M. It was very close most of the game. Texas A&M, Auburn led for probably 30 minutes and or maybe 35 minutes. No, 30 minutes. And then Texas A&M took a 2 or 3 or 4 point lead at some point late in the second half. And then Auburn kind of did enough to win the game. It's been well documented that Buzz Williams, Texas A&M's coach, kind of has Bruce's number. I don't know what it is. Auburn is now just 2-5 in the last 7 games against Texas A&M. Don't know what it is. I mean, I would say last night Auburn's issue at first that kind of caused a bunch of the other issues was that they just weren't hitting shots. I mean, Aiden Holloway hit the first 2 threes. One was a logo 3, and it seemed like things were going great. And then we start missing a few. I remember specifically Chad Baker Mazzara, who's kind of he showed out in a good way and a dumb way at the Arkansas game, and had kind of come on and was like going to be that guy that nobody ever knew about or thought about, and all of a sudden he's why we're winning games. Last night did not have a good game, and this is a thing about playing. I argued this a long time ago, and people, of course, went crazy for it. When you play at home, you expect everything to go good. You expect every shot to go in, especially with the crowd we had last night. The students were back. It was just crazy loud, full, crazy electric. And you expect everything to go good, and then as soon as you miss a shot, your head goes down. And Chad missed one shot and put his head down. And I'm not just calling him out. Pretty much the whole team acts that way. It's when you have a good crowd and a good environment, sometimes it can be a bad thing because, you know, there was a lot of weird calls last night and a lot of weird situations, not always that the ref was making the wrong calls, just they were put in a weird situation or the ball would like literally, I think there was one possession where they got 3 or 4 offensive rebounds in a row, and it wasn't necessarily bad rebounding. It's just the ball sometimes bounces right to somebody or right where they were going or right where you were pushing them to. And so you get those situations where you're at home, you think everything should be good, but then the refs do something or there's just a weird call and the crowd boos like crazy. And there was a lot of booing last night. And it was a weirdly called game. It's like they wouldn't call anything for 10 minutes and then they called everything for 10 minutes. I think I tweeted that it was a non-officiating because they wouldn't call anything, but then it was it was the most non-officiating and most try-hard officiating I'd ever seen because then they would just call random stupid things. But when the crowd boos like that, when the crowd's crazy into it, it's easy to be like, man, they're cheating us, and see, everybody agrees they're doing us wrong, and then get your head down even more. So that's why when you go on the road, like Auburn did against Arkansas, the crowd was crazy at the beginning, and then Auburn quickly took them out of it, and then that took out the team. I mean, their team just quit. They didn't do anything. I mean, that was one of the worst looking Arkansas teams I've seen in the second half, just because we took it out of them. So a little bit of that kind of was happening last night, just a little bit in a sense, because again, everything's trying. Everybody's on your side. Everything should go your way, and then you miss a few shots, and you start thinking about it every time. And it just did seem like we were missing. I haven't looked at the percentages, but I know it was low. It just seemed like we only made like two threes. I think we only made two threes in the second half. One was early. It was KD in the corner. And then, obviously, Jalen Williams at the end hit the one that kind of took their last little bit of hope out. So, that's what happens. It was a decent start, and then shots just wouldn't go in. Free throws didn't go in at the beginning of the game. Everybody kind of got their head down, started pressing. We had a lot more turnovers than normal. Now, Texas A&M is one of the best offensive rebounding teams and causes more turnovers than Auburn does. So, it has a lot to do with Texas A&M. But, like when you've got that situation, when you've got the home crowd and that vibe, it can also turn on you. Just like I said, I mean, one little thing goes bad, or the refs do something dumb, everybody starts booing, the energy gets negative, and everybody's in a scramble mode, or I've got to do too much mode. And I saw that from a lot of players last night. I'm not gonna call any of them out, but players that played really well against Arkansas last night, it's like they just carried over and thought it was going to be the same game. Texas A&M is better than Arkansas. Texas A&M is also 0-2 in the SEC. They lost to LSU in College Station by 10 before. And LSU has not been very good at all. I want to say they're in the low hundreds of most of the rankings. But that's who comes to Auburn on Saturday. I think it's a 5 p.m. tip, which is a weird Saturday time. So we'll talk about that more as it gets closer to it. But I say that, it's Wednesday. It was one of those games where Auburn was still good enough, playing maybe one of their sloppiest games. I mean, I don't know if there's been another like contested sloppy game. There's been some parts where shots weren't falling in other games, but just in terms of just driving and having no idea what I'm going to do with it next, we had a lot of like just simply intercepted passes, just trying to throw it across the court, and there's a guy right there standing, you know, stuff that you really hadn't seen all season. But like I said, people start pressing and people expect the ball to go in every time you throw it up at home. Now hitting four half court shots to start the right before the game in warmups might help you think might make you think that, which I'm going to post the video for that shortly. Which if you hadn't seen that on social media, Auburn posted it. It's pretty awesome. Auburn hit literally four guys hit four half court shots right in a row before going in the locker room. So it was last night was just a good. It's one of those games you hate to experience it while you're experiencing. Cannot say that. But once it's over, once you weather the dumb people on Twitter that say, "See, I told you Auburn's not that good," which is all Alabama fans are doing today because that's how they make themselves feel better. And you know they've played a lot of hard teams, but they haven't beaten any of them. But they played a lot of hard teams, and they have more people at their games that literally show 2,000 people there. That tip off. But once you weather that storm of stupid, you realize, you know, they are Texas A&M is – they were at like 34 in KenPom last night, which is not a quad one win because you have to – because we were playing them at Auburn. If we were playing them on the road, 34 is a quad one win. I know I tweeted that it was a quad one win. I was thinking they were higher than that before the game, but they weren't. I read it wrong or something. But after the game, Auburn moved up to 4 in KenPom. Purdue and Houston both lost last night and did not move in KenPom. Or if they did, they're still in the top three. But Auburn's 4th in KenPom. And I hate saying that, and I hate acting like that's a thing because it's literally like seemed to literally hate Auburn for the last 50 years. But KenPom, Auburn is now 6th in defense, which they were 9th before the game. You hold them to 55 points, that's going to do that. Now they're 14th in offense. They were 9th before the game there as well. So they dropped a little bit in offense, only scored 66 points, and whatever all the other offensive metrics were, probably turnovers, blah, blah, blah. So they moved up. They're ahead of Tennessee. I can't find – I think you have to pay to figure out what yesterday looked like. And I feel like Auburn was 5 yesterday. They had to have been above Tennessee, but I can't remember who the other top 5 team was. But right now it's Houston, Arizona, Purdue, Auburn, as I said, Houston, who's number one, lost. It's their first loss, obviously, so it's not a crazy thing for them to stay number one, but they are Houston. They're playing teams like SMU. Arizona, Purdue, Auburn, Tennessee, UConn, and Alabama with five losses still in. They just now got their 10th win. They're number seven. Auburn's ahead of Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. Everybody's loving on them. I think they're top five or six in the AP poll. They're 12-2, but they're 18th in the KenPom. Let's see where Texas A&M dropped. They are now 35. I think they dropped one. And then LSU, who is coming to town, they are 84. They're 10-5. Same record as Alabama. And they're 84, not 7. The biggest knock that the Dumbs are using today on Twitter is that Auburn has not won. They're the only top 25 team who has not won a quad one game. And that's true. They've played one quad one game. Baylor. You say you beat who you play, and that's true. And Auburn will obviously get more quad one opportunities. Mississippi State would be a quad one. Kentucky's going to be a quad one. Alabama, Tennessee, those are all quad one opportunities. Auburn has a lot of quad two wins. And I looked this up quickly last night, and I know I looked it up last year, so if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I believe a quad one win is a top 30 team in the net, not the KenPom. KenPom doesn't matter. It's just a very supposedly objective computerized program ranking, whatever. I'm sounding like a 90-year-old man talking about a computer. So the net, if you play them at home, a top 30 game is a quad one. But if you play them on the road, they can be in the top 50. I mean, it makes sense. Play on the road's harder. You get a little bit more credit for playing a 40th-ranked team than beating a 35th-ranked team. I get it. And if I'm wrong on that, I'm wrong. But it's something like that. So Auburn was just barely – Texas A&M was just barely a few spots lower than a quad one win last night. And do these things matter? Yes, because Alabama is 2-5 in quad one wins. Let's see. Just off the top of my head, they lost to Arizona, who's number – two right now. They lost to Ohio State, who's 34, so that's not a quad one anymore. Well, it was away, so maybe, or it was a neutral. I don't know. Maybe that was one of them. Anyway, they're 2-5, and they're in the top 10. They're 10-5. They're the only team, just I'm looking at KenPom because it's right now, right in front of my face. There are two teams in the top 25 that have five losses, and one is Alabama, who's 7, and one is Villanova, who's 25. So Alabama is way higher than anybody. I mean, I can even go further. The next team with at least five losses is Texas A&M at 35. They're 9-6. So the net obviously gives a huge bit of credit to teams who even just play quad one games. And again, you only can play who you play. I mean, that's all it is. And Auburn, their non-conference this year by names. Was much better than last year. We beat Indiana, who looked like a bigger name. They're 51 right now. They're only, no, they're not. That's Indiana State. They're 93, but they're 11-5. I think they just lost last night. We have Virginia Tech, like bigger names. They're 67. If you take away the Appalachian State loss, which, they're 100 right now, and they're only 11-4. If you take that away, I don't know how. I mean, again, we're talking quad one, quad two, quad all that junk, and that's what matters to the net. But if you're looking at Auburn's 14-1, and their only loss was Baylor, who is now number 13 in the net, they're still higher than Auburn in the AP poll. How could you not say Auburn's number two or three team? I mean, if they're 4-13-2 and you take away their only bad loss, where else can you go? You only have three more spots, again, in the KenPom, which is all I'm looking at right in front of my face. So, obviously, the net is just like another version of KenPom. I don't think it's as sophisticated. They don't give you what it what comprises the calculations. It's not people, obviously. The committee, when they set the seeds in the tournament, I believe it's, I don't think it's all they go off of. But, you know, in a few weeks, they'll come out and say, this is the top 25. This is, or this is the ranking, and this is what the seeds would be if it was today. And I believe at that point, they're just going off of what the numbers are. Like right now, Auburn's a seven. It's number seven in the net. Alabama's number six. But Auburn's number seven, so that would put them as the third best two seed, and Alabama would be the second best two seed. And Tennessee in the net is number five. So you don't see a ton of difference in the net in KenPom. Right now, Auburn's three spots lower. Alabama's five spots are higher, and Tennessee's right at number five in both. But again, the quads matter. And honestly, if you win or lose the games, it obviously matters some. But Alabama playing seven quad games, even though they've only won two, that's obviously a lot of where their stuff is coming from. Every one of their losses is a quad one loss. Auburn is – there's my son getting home from school screaming his head off. Auburn has a quad one loss. That's their only quad one game. Their quad two were 4-1, so App State is a quad two loss. And then quad three, 5-0, quad four, 4-0. Alabama has played seven quad one games, but they've only played two quad two games, where Auburn's played five. I'm saying a lot of things about quads and numbers right now. Make sure you stretch before you run. So, does any of this matter? Yeah, I mean, it's a starting point. Obviously, Auburn, as an Auburn fan, I'm always worried about, you know, in 2004 when Auburn in football, Auburn was ranked 17 and couldn't get past number three because they started at 17. So, if you're right now at number seven, you kind of stay okay, pretty good, you're going to stay around there. So, it's a good starting point. Obviously, Auburn has a long way to go. How many SEC games do we play? 18. So a lot more, a long way to go. But as I said, it's a starting point. We're not down where Ole Miss is at 68 with only one loss, by the way, and would have to work their way into the tournament. Ole Miss right now in the net would basically be one of the play-in teams, and they have one loss. So who you play matters. Obviously, it's going to get tougher in the SEC. There's only three SEC teams ranked in the AP poll right now, Auburn, Tennessee, and Kentucky. But, you know, you've got Alabama, Mississippi State. They're all right up there in the top 30 or 40 teams in the net. So those quads are going to go up. Can I stop saying quad now? Since the last podcast, which was, I think, just 2 days ago, I told you I'm going to do two of these a week. Well, I'm going to do one of these a week, hopefully two, and then may sprinkle in some Bloggle spots. But since the last one, I'd kind of talked about Auburn's defensive coordinator, Roberts, was going to Florida. I don't think anything has been official on that. I just saw some tweets and a lot of people saying, yeah, 2 days ago it just said Florida set to hire Ron Roberts as linebackers coach and co-defense coordinator. But there's nothing that says 100% that it has happened. Also, obviously, Auburn brought in Charles Kelly. I don't know that that's been 100% announced by Auburn. Let me Google it real fast, but I haven't seen like a graphic or anything. He played at Auburn. Wikipedia says he's at Auburn, co-defense coordinator, but I don't know that he's at Auburn has said it, which is, somebody, Bubba and the Old Man Sports Talk on YouTube says it's happened, but I haven't. There's not like a 100% he's been hired, but, well, CBS Sports says Charles Kelly leaving role for Auburn as turnovers defense as something about Deion Sanders because he's leaving Colorado. Anyway, this is a great Google session. So we're obviously looking for a defensive coordinator unless he's just going to become the defensive coordinator. I don't think that's going to be the case. But we also need an offensive coordinator. But since then, Hugh announced that he was going to call the plays, which I think is a good idea. But doesn't this feel like Gus, the Gus regime, where it was, you know, Hugh's going to call the plays this year or the next two or three, and then he's going to realize he wants to just be the coach, or people are going to start complaining that he needs an offense coordinator, and then we're going to hire somebody, and it's not going to be as good, so then they're going to say he should take over calling again. Let's just not be dumb and just – he's a play caller. Let him do it. Let's hire an offensive coordinator like Rhett Lashley was, and just let him have the title and work with quarterbacks or work with somebody with some – whatever. I said I would do it if you just let me handle the making the orange face mask the right color. I mean, I'll do that for free. I mean, you can just call me offense coordinator and I'll show up and make sure those are right. I feel like there's one other position or one other job that I didn't think about. It was Ron Roberts. I remember the very end of the last podcast I was saying, hey, I'm hearing that tweet. A tweet just said it as well. So, nothing official has been said with that, but everybody's going along with it. And obviously, the thing with Ron Roberts was, I liked what he did most of the time, but then our defense would kind of just be weird and flake out. But it seemed like he was kind of hard to work with. It seemed like a lot of the coaches didn't like his candor, I guess you could say. And how tough he was on them, or how, I don't know, just obviously it's known that I think Wes McGriff didn't like him and they had problems. That's why he, you know, was going to leave and then came back and just was an off-the-field coach, even though he was on the sidelines still helping during games. But I think that was just a sign of what it was like working with him. And I don't know. I mean, that nobody – knows 100% on what he's like other than those guys and the players. So I, as a coach, I definitely thought his defense was better than we'd had and pretty good. And, you know, maybe a few more pieces, defensive line, and all that would, I was fine keeping him. But if there were issues and he wants to go there and Hugh wants somebody else, as Hugh said, and as I said, the last podcast, it's, the first coaching staff is probably not always exactly who you wanted, because you're really kind of doing it quick. You're trying to get somebody in so you don't lose recruits and so you can recruit. I mean, I thought he and Phillip Montgomery, they were both looked at as good hires. Now, obviously, you know, a lot of fans and the best fan base in the country, you know, think Phillip Montgomery should be pushed off a cliff because of the offense this year not always, but in certain games, especially the Maryland game or the New Mexico State games, like, you know, we loved it. We were 100% behind it 10 months ago, but now we absolutely hate you. Great fan base. But, you know, both of those hires were seen as good and exciting. We're like, wow, they've had good offenses. They've had good defenses. I like this. And a lot of times in the season, we agreed with it. But now they're both gone, and, you know, some people like good riddance. I'm like, what'd they do to you? Just, you got mad because he's the guy and somebody completed a pass over our DB? Or we ran this play and you didn't like it? Greatest fan base in America. So, yeah, we're looking for an offensive coordinator. That's not that important to me. That's just going to be a name to people. And I really don't think it's going to be a splash hire. Why would it be if Hugh is going to call the plays? And defensive coordinator, Mississippi State's old coach Arnett has been, his name's been thrown around. There's Kiffin's brother, his name's been thrown around. I really think it's probably going to be one of those two, because those are the only two you've really heard for the most part. But on the other hand, a lot of times you hear names and it ends up being somebody out of left field. But if we got Charles Kelly's COVID defense coordinator, we've already got somewhat of a defense coordinator, but I really think a lot of him is going to be recruiting because he's a stud recruiter. All right. We need coaches. That's who it's going to be. Auburn basketball is good because Alabama fans are going crazy today telling you how good they're not. Washington won the national championship. I watched pretty much the whole game, which is rare because it's been teams I don't want to see. And You know, Michael Penix, he got hurt. He seemed hurt pretty much the whole second half. And there was a glimmer of hope for Washington right before halftime. But in general, I mean, Michigan just kind of beat them down and wore them down. And it was a pretty boring game. I mean, they had two or three long runs at the beginning, but it was a pretty boring game. And I think it's why people, whether it's right or wrong, why people wanted Alabama in the playoffs, and why I'm kind of surprised that, you know, I'm not really surprised Georgia wasn't in it, but at this point you could say that Georgia might have beaten those two teams. Remember, Auburn only lost by a touchdown to Georgia. But it just doesn't seem as fun. And I don't know that Alabama and Washington or Georgia and Texas or whatever would have been more fun. Maybe it's just in our brains that it has to be an SEC team for it to be fun down here. To me, it's not. I'd rather it be Auburn or nobody else. But it didn't, you know, Washington, they won close games all year. And yes, they were undefeated. They deserved to be there. Michigan was undefeated. They deserved to be the national champion. I don't know that they beat a bunch of good teams by a lot. I mean, they beat Maryland by a touchdown, who played in the Music City Bowl. I feel like if you put Michigan in the SEC, they're kind of like Tennessee, or kind of like maybe a little bit better than a normal Florida, or LSU maybe this year. Like, they're going to lose three or four games. They're good, but you get beat down in the SEC. I mean, that's just how it is. And at Michigan, you're going to play Minnesota and Indiana and Illinois. And yes, Auburn has those teams. Auburn has Vandy, Kentucky, South Carolina, all those teams that are like that. But the best in the middle is what is a lot better than everything else up there. We've gotten conditioned to think that it has to be an SEC team, or there has to be an SEC team in the championship. Now, Alabama had their chance and they lost because they weren't as good as Michigan. They didn't deserve to be in the playoff, to be honest. I don't know what, if the 12 team playoff is going to make this better. I mean, it's going to be TV fun, but just like the NCAA tournament, it's probably many times not going to tell you who the best team in the nation was. It is a tournament, a single elimination tournament where anything can happen. One injury kills you. You know, playing on the road, one team getting to play somebody at home and one team having to play on the road is a big deal. But there may be up to three or four SEC teams in the playoffs. They're going to stick somebody stupid like Tulane in there, and they're going to get beat by 100, or they'll beat like the 9 seed. Or no, they'll probably be the 11, so they'll play like the 6 seed first or whatever. And may upset them one time, and then they'll get destroyed by a top 4 team in the next round. So I don't know. I think it's going to be fun-ish for TV. There's going to be some upsets. It's going to be like, oh, wow, the 3 seed's out already. But I think there's going to be a lot more chances for SEC teams to be in it and have a better style of football, I guess, a more exciting style of football. And I hate saying that because I'm not really an SEC homer. But watching the Michigan-Washington game just kind of, you know, it just didn't look right at times. I mean, again, the quarterback got hurt. Washington kind of scraped by all year. They were undefeated, but scraped by all year. Michigan was just much more powerful, so it was going to be a boring style game. And by no means did I want Alabama or Georgia in it, but you just sit there and watch it, and you're like, this is not normal. This is not as good football as you watch in the SEC every week. It looked like a decent Big Ten just regular season game. And guess what? That's what it's going to be, because Washington, for some reason, is in the Big Ten now. And they actually play next year on, like, the 5th week of the season. So we'll see that same game again without some, obviously, the same players. But so I don't know. I say I watched it. I tweeted and did and bloggled while it was on in front of me, but it just didn't feel the same. I mean, it was nice to not have to worry about Alabama and Georgia talking trash, and it was nice to see Alabama fans get mad that a quote-unquote cheater won when, you know, that's what they're built on. But it didn't feel right. It didn't, like, it just felt like it was missing something, and I don't mean certain teams. I just mean level of football on both sides. Now, I say that Georgia destroyed TCU last year by 100. So that was the national championship last year. What else? We talked basketball. We talked rankings a little bit. I said quad way too much. Auburn still needs an offense coordinator and defense coordinator. It feels like I say that a lot, but, you know, other teams look for coordinators all the time too. And we had a national championship game. Baseball is right around the corner. I think they put tickets up for sale yesterday, kind of like leftovers, and I'm pretty sure they were all terrace level, which is over on the third base side where you bring your own chair and sit over there. And I want to say after this year, they're rebuilding all that. They're doing a bunch of different stuff. I think is when they're going to start building the seats above the Green Monster and the bigger thing on the first base side, nicer seating and all that. I know this whole past off season, in the fall, they were working on the new backstop where they're going to have seats down on field level. So that'll be cool to see. Let's see when the first game is. It's got to be end of January, 1st of February. I remember I was actually, my uncle got seats when they rebuilt Plainsman Park, and they, like, when it went from metal bleachers to, you know, what it looks like now, Plainsman Park, where they had seating on top of the dugout. I remember my uncle had got season tickets to that, and we sat the very first game. I want to say we were playing like VMI or something like that, or VCU or VMI, and it being like 3 degrees outside. No, the first game is February 16th against Eastern Kentucky. So that'll be a series, three-game series. Then UAB that Tuesday. And then we go to Jacksonville, Florida, the next weekend to play Iowa, Wichita State, and Virginia. Wichita State's usually somewhat okay. Virginia's good. Iowa, didn't know they had a baseball team. Then we got Samford on Tuesday. Then UConn comes to town. UConn's been decent in baseball recently. They usually are in the tournament. Then Air Force on a Tuesday and Wednesday. That'll be interesting. Then Austin Peay, I'm just going to read this schedule now. Austin Peay comes to town March 8th through 10th. Then we go to Madison, Alabama to play Troy. That makes a lot of sense, at Toyota Field. So I think, you know, go up there, be nice to the Huntsville people, just like basketball did this year. Play Troy, who will be decent. Troy has a kid from Opelika who's a stud. Then SEC play starts. We might as well just stay up there because 3 days later we play in Nashville against Vandy, which is going to be a great start to SEC play against one of the top teams in the nation. Then, man, we are away from home a lot. We go, let me recap. March 12th, Tuesday, we're in Madison, Alabama. 3 days later, we're in Nashville for 3 days. 2 days later, on a Tuesday, we're in Montgomery at Riverwalk Stadium to play South Alabama because Alabama opted out of the Capital City Classic because they were tired of it being such an Auburn-centric event, as if they couldn't drive there or as if there are not 18 million Alabama fans in Montgomery. Or Clanton, that could have driven down. So Auburn goes to Riverwalk, plays South Alabama. Then Arkansas back at home, Jacksonville State at home. Then we go to College Station, UAB in Birmingham. Tennessee comes to town. Remember, they were legit 2 years ago and then not good last year. Then Alabama State. Then we host Kentucky, so that's two weekends in a row, Tennessee and Kentucky at home. Then Georgia Tech on Tuesday at Mississippi State, Florida A&M, the Rattlers, that Tuesday, then at LSU. So we've got two at home, then two away, Starkville and Baton Rouge. Then back home to play Ole Miss, Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Missouri in Columbia, Samford in Hoover. And then we end with Alabama at home. So we're finally getting an Iron Bowl to end the season. I don't know that we've played Alabama for the last series of the season, but that'll be cool. And the season ends a day before my birthday, so y'all bring me something to the game. But it's supposed to be a pretty good, I mean, we've got Gonzalez coming back, and Ike Irish. We've got a lot of guys, Bobby Pierce, that are supposed to be, they're all returning, and we're studs, and hopefully we're going to build on that and have a better season than we did last year, which wasn't awful, just didn't do well in the tournament. We got to host. We hosted the tournament and then lost to Penn and Southern Miss, and just not good. But yeah, that's it. It's baseball season because it's 30 degrees outside. What else? Oh, so this is brought to you by Rolling in Tradition. Again, I mentioned them last time. It's a new Auburn-themed clothing line, I guess you could say. The logo is simply a toilet paper roll. So instead of your little polo logo or your Tommy Hilfiger, because you still wear that, it's a nice little toilet paper roll. So it's pretty cool. They have tons of hats, T-shirts, a few different logos, Rolling in Tradition. They've got some state stickers, not all states, but many states. So if you are in California and want to say you were Rolling in Tradition, there's some stickers on their website as well. So check them out, rollingintradition.com. They're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those good things. Again, I am trying to podcast more. I've got a good group of writers on the site right now that help push out content. Obviously, this is a season, basketball, baseball season, where there are more games, but obviously each game has so little turnaround that you don't get the full football treatment of blogging, where, you know, we go, you know, maybe we should do this, but, you know, you go talk to a writer from that side, do a little bit more history on the team. You know, it's a lot less time. There's more games, so we can talk about each game, but there's a lot less time to build hype and have a week's worth of post. So I'm going to do a little bit more podcasting where it's kind of easier to just talk about it. But if you do video stuff, if you work audio stuff, podcasting, graphic design, marketing, I'm really looking for marketing type people to kind of help with social media and help me do more of that other than just tweeting at Alabama fans all day. Anything. If you think you can do anything in a creative space based around a website and sports and social media, please reach out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those, or email me at admin@warbloggle.com. So got a few people that have already been interested, kind of working some things out there, but always looking for writers, content producers, creators, whatever you want to do. If you can play the guitar, find me, and maybe you can write the intro music for the podcast, because right now I'm just posting random audio clips, and sometimes YouTube allows it and sometimes it doesn't. So yeah, I guess that'll wrap it up. Obviously you're hearing this on either Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, or maybe watching it on YouTube or watching my logo as you listen to it. If there's other avenues you'd like to hear it, let me know. I'm here to bloggle for you. So, all right. Well, that is it. We'll shut it down. This has been War Bloggle Podcast number 16, War Eagles. Hey.